Evening, if you'll take your Bibles out and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll be reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in just a moment. Appreciate all of you being here this evening, and for those who are visiting with us, we really appreciate you joining us for our study this evening to worship God. Have any questions about what we do or what we teach, we'd be more than happy to discuss those things with you. If you look here with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says in verse 9, "Therefore we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, that we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are manifest also in your consciences." I'd like us to spend a few minutes this evening talking about these things that Paul identifies, at least two of them. And first of all, the idea of what our ambition is in this life. He says, "As therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him." And so this evening I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about that. If you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Might mark Hebrews 11. We'll spend a good deal of time here this evening. We'll return to this thought in just a moment about how we can be pleasing to God and our ambitions in life. But I'll just drop that seed with you for now to consider as we read. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, beginning in verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was also called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Are you living by faith in a foreign land? Are you living like an alien? And really, what does that even mean? A few years back, while I was in Ecuador, I probably learned a lot more clearly than ever before what the Bible is talking about, because I was the foreigner. I was out of place, not because I didn't belong there, right? But because I was different. Foreigners talk different. They look different. They dress different. They act different. And the reason is because a foreigner is different. And that's just something that we've really got to recognize as Christians, because we don't belong here. In fact, we belong with God. And so we should feel out of place here in Conway, Arkansas. Are you looking for a better city? Conway's pretty good as far as I can tell, but you know, there's a lot better things in this life, or a lot better things to look forward to when this life is over, than Conway. Or do you want to spend eternity here? I am a foreigner, and I don't belong here. I'm different. I'm a stranger. And you should be too. I mean, we legitimately sing that we're just a stranger just passing through. And there's a reason for that. And as we read through the book of Hebrews, we really see that outlined very clearly. The Bible describes two eternal dwellings, heaven and hell, and everyone will be judged according to what they have done. We just read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that is why Paul says that it is his ambition to be pleasing to God. So how are you going to be pleasing? Well, if you back up a couple verses here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." True faith causes people of God to do strange things. They don't make decisions like the rest of the world. And we should look different. We should dress different. We should act and speak different. Why? Well, Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 that we, like the Holy One who has called us, that we're supposed to be like Him. He says, "Be holy yourselves in all your behavior." What does this look like in real life? Instead of blending in like wearing camouflage, it should be easy to identify a God-fearing person. In fact, this is how the Hebrew writer describes the faithful. If you look here in chapter 11 and verse 13, he says, "All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." These who died in faith. Notice how he describes them. He says that they believed. They faithfully waited for God's promises. They confessed that they were strangers. He says, those who do and say such things make it clear that they've set their heart, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, you've set their heart on things above, not on things of the earth. If they had been thinking of where they left, they would have had opportunity to return. That reminds me of Lot's wife. And they desire something better. Not because what we have right now isn't sufficient, but there is something better. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven, and we should live like it. Why? Because God is not ashamed of people who act like that. Those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. And it's for that reason he identifies in verse 16 that God is not ashamed to be called their God. The point is, people who obey, who act, who speak in this way, God isn't ashamed of them. Doesn't that matter more than anything else? So what is your life's ambition? What do you want more than anything else? Is it to be pleasing to Him? Is there any way that I would be able to know that is your ambition? Or the person sitting beside you? If Christians talk, look, and dress and act different than the world, do you? And often people walk through the doors of a church building and they do what they have to do to feel religious and they leave and they live their life. But you are not a Christian if nothing has changed. If work and life and everything going on around you prevents you from worshiping and studying with the saints, if you talk like the world, if you dress in a sensual way like the world, if you argue and yell and fight like the world, if people can't tell you don't belong here because you're weird, because you're strange, because you are different, quite frankly, that's dangerous. How's God going to tell the difference? In fact, if you continue in sin, he says just prior to what we've read here in chapter 10, verse 26, he says, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of the fire which will consume the adversaries. And so what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about the terror of God is just magnified that much more. We can't continue living the old way of life. Or we should legitimately be terrified and expect judgment. So are you a foreigner or not? Are you going to act like it or not? I'm sure God is ashamed of a great number of Americans and people of any nationality, as far as that goes. But the real question is he ashamed of you? Is he ashamed of me? We have a high standard to live up to, and many give up. But God has given us a gift so that we can know that we can live by faith too. And tonight I'd like to share that gift with you. You're holding it in your hand. And if you haven't opened up to Hebrews chapter 11 yet, I'd encourage you to do so. Because what God has given you is all the encouragement that you could possibly need. Can I make it through this life? Well, can I? Can you? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Just skim down through here and see what God's given us. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead. By faith, verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, verse 22, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. It would take place 400 years later. By faith, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt. He endured. Verse 28, by faith they kept the Passover. By faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through on dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What is the point? The point is that living by faith causes people to act differently. They all obeyed God, even though some of the things didn't make any sense at all. Where was Abraham going? He didn't know. God told him to go. Why in the world would you walk around a walled city to conquer it? for 7 days. It makes no sense. But the fact that it didn't make sense to the people who were told to do it made no difference. God spoke, and they obeyed. That's it. They obeyed because God told them to do it. And so they obeyed by faith. And the walls fell down. Imagine that as a strategy for war. Of all the people in the world to leave his wealth behind, why in the world would Moses leave Pharaoh's house? Didn't make a bit of sense. But it says he chose to endure. He considered the reproach of Christ far greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking to the reward. Hebrews chapter 11 demonstrates what living by faith looks like. And really it means that people just act different. They talk different. They live different. They dress different. So be different. God hasn't called you to blend into the world, because you are not of the world if you wear his name. Isn't it ironic that this is kind of part two of this morning's lesson? I was thinking that this morning as Jason was preaching. It wasn't planned. But a great number of the things that he said this morning were just right in line with these ideas. You are holy and set apart. You're a people for God's own possession. So can I live faithfully? How can you act in such a way that God is not ashamed of you? Hebrews chapter 11 answers that. Let's keep reading. Verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For time will tell me if I tell of Gideon, of Barak and Samson, of Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. To all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." Why didn't they get what they were promised? What were they looking for? There was something better. And these who died in faith were looking forward to the sacrifice for sin. He's talking about Jesus. These people trusted that God would forgive them of their sins. And when they died, when they passed from this life, the payment wasn't made yet. Why is there such a long list of names? Have you ever thought about that? I think the answer is really the same reason that the book of Ezra ends with a long list of names. And the list that's found in the last chapter of the book of Ezra is a list of all the people who sinned against God, who had intermarried with the people of the land. Wouldn't you love that? To be the only thing recorded in Scripture about you is that you were one of the people who had sinned against God? But there's a reason that list is there. And it isn't to shame those people. The list describes how serious sin is and how these real people really repented of sin. How they sought God's will despite the difficulty, and they followed through with the changes that God required of them to be forgiven. Will you do whatever God commands to make your life right with Him? That's what the book of Ezra ends with. Why do we have the list in Hebrews chapter 11 of all these people? The reason is so that you have in front of your face, you can read it. Real people really live by faith, and you can do that too. God was faithful to them through all of their troubles and difficulties every time that they fell. And it tells us that God's going to be faithful to you too. And so will you be faithful to God? Will you be different? Will you be set apart? Will you live as somebody who just doesn't belong here? Because you belong in heaven. And we all, verse 40, have the opportunity to be made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. If He is your King of Kings, that means that you're going to have to submit to Him as Lord. So the point of Hebrews chapter 11 is that these real people who really lived, who really obeyed God, sure they sinned and they fell short, but they lived a life of faith. Who cares? Well, I do. I do because I have a problem with getting too busy with life, with family, with work, and kids, and temptations, and the list goes on and on. Do you? Sometimes wonder, it seems impossible that we can survive this life right with God. Maybe it's sickness that just doesn't seem to go away. Maybe it's trouble at work or family problems. How are you going to survive? You know, we just read a list of a lot of people that had a lot of problems. And they made it. What's your ambition? Is it to please God or to please yourself? He is not ashamed of people who say such things, who live in this way. And that just strikes me as something that is incredibly powerful. That God is not ashamed of Josh Blount. When I am. A little too often. How? So this long list of people who have lived for thousands of years, so they made it and they live by faith, but how? Well, we'll keep reading. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. What does he say? Essentially, he says, get rid of any stuff that gets in the way so you can run unhindered. Because you've got to run this race with endurance, because it's not a short race. This is not a sprint. But how? Verse 2. By seeing how all these others did it. Verse 26 of chapter 11 told us how Moses made it. He was looking to the reward. Verse 16 said that they were looking for a better country. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, set your eyes on the prize of the upward call of God, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12 and verse 3, right here. It says that Jesus Christ lived by faith too, just like he expects you and me to do. How did he do it? Well, it says that verse 2, we are to set our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured. He was looking to the reward. He was looking to the end. We can put up with a lot more pain, sorrow, whatever it is, if we can see the end of it, right? But if you're hopeless and don't think it's ever going to end, it probably won't, right? We think of Jesus as God, and he most certainly is. But the gift that God gave us is the record of the lives of Jesus Christ, who lived by faith. And the record of the lives of all these other men and women who lived by faith, who no doubt got discouraged and busy with life, and they were burdened, and they were tempted, and they were overcome at times, like I am and you are. But they got back up and they lived by faith. And you and I can do that. That's what makes God not ashamed of people like that. Because they're willing to do it. How do I know? If you want a really blunt example, you've got one. What's the first word that comes to your mind when I say Rahab, harlot? Why is she Rahab, not just Rahab, but Rahab the harlot? Because she was Rahab the harlot. Let it sink in for a minute. And then let's read what it says about the harlot in Scripture. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. You know what? If God can change a harlot and make her into something that he's proud of and not ashamed of, then what's that say about what he can do with me and you? She didn't even know who God was. But she told the spies that everybody in this land is afraid of your God. And our hearts have melted because of your God. We heard what happened in Egypt. What happened? Rahab, the harlot, is in Hebrews chapter 11 with all the other faithful men and women who lived. Rahab is also the genealogy of David, the great king of Israel, which means she is in the genealogy of Jesus, Lord and Savior. Why? She wasn't even an Israelite. Didn't matter. God can take people who are not His people and make them into something that are different, that are set apart, into something that's not worthy of being ashamed of. How can I live faithful? How can you act in such a way that God is not ashamed of you? By following the example of those who have gone before us. Making it our ambition, our sole purpose in life, to be pleasing to Him. Pleasing to the One who by the power of His voice spoke the world and all of life into existence. So do you feel at home living here in Sodom of Arkansas? I mean, we live in the world, and it looks more like Sodom every day. We can be ashamed of God. Or are we living as a pilgrim and a stranger, looking for a land that is so much better, that's different? God wants you to live by faith, to be different than the rest of the world. Are you a stranger in an exile looking to please God, or are you really at home here? Hebrews 11:6 says that it is impossible to please God without faith. And that's where it's got to begin. Do you have faith to the preserving of your soul? Then act on it and confess Him and repent of your sins. There is no reason that God should be ashamed of any person in this room. We all have the same opportunity to be forgiven and washed clean by the same sacrifice that all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 were looking forward to. You can be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. God wants you to live by faith. So will you repent of your sins according to the Scriptures, to live different, to act different, to talk different, to be different? Not different just for the sake of being different, but different than the world. Different in that we submit to the words of Jesus Christ instead of the various teachings of men. If your ambition more than anything else is to please Him, then do what He says. Submit to His authority by faith. And it is that faith that will lead you to do strange things, to be set apart, to be holy, to be different than the world. You have the opportunity this evening, if you know what you need to do to be saved and you want to make your life right with God, you can do that now. If we can help you or pray for you, we'd be happy to do that. If you have questions, we can be more than happy to discuss that, those with you as well. If there's any way that we can help you this evening, won't you come as we stand and sing?
The Son of Loving Shepherd.